chapter 4. Proverbs are wise sayings that we can govern our lives by, to rule our lives or govern our lives. In Proverbs 4, and I want to begin reading with verse 10. I'll read several verses of Scripture. Proverbs 4:10, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." A promise for extended life by hearing the word of God and putting it into practice in our lives. "I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not in the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men." We back up to verse 13 a moment and remind you that when we read the Bible and learn Scripture, it's important that we reread. It's good to read the Bible through every year, but regardless of how you do that, many people choose different ways. Sometimes they start in Genesis and read through the Bible. Sometimes they read some of the old and some of the new every day. Sometimes people focus on certain books of the Bible and read them through several times. I've been reading, since I finished the Bible this year, I've been reading Proverbs every day to read it through every month. And because I'm teaching on it, I thought it was a good time to do that again. And there's many ways that you can read and study, but it's important that we read and study the Bible because we have the tendency to forget. We have the tendency to get lax, and God help us not to. Verse 14, "Not to go in the path of the wicked or those evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they've done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto a perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Proverbs is wise sayings. We see here in this passage it deals with the right path for us to walk. We need to have the right path. God's word is the light and the lamp to show us the path to walk, to guide our steps. And God help us to stay on the right path. It is a holy path. God's word is holy. And if we obey the Lord, God's holiness, he desires that of us. Peter reminded us, "Be holy as I am holy." A healthy path. If we obey the teachings of God's word, it will bless our health. It'll give us longer life. And so it's a healthy path. It's also a happy path. Because when we know we're doing God's will, we can have a peace and a happiness about obeying God and about accomplishing something for the Lord. To have God's wisdom and understanding and knowledge, if we follow that, it will make our life blessed. If we follow God's word, then we'll avoid the path of the wicked and the evil. We should, verse 15 reminds us, to totally separate ourselves from the ungodly, from the wicked. We are the light to them. We're the witness to them. We pray for them, but we've got to be very careful about how involved we become with the unsaved world around us. Biblical separation is something clearly taught in the Scriptures. Because, verse 16 says, they can't sleep until they've done mischief. The word mischief defines as to spoil, meaning as to take captive, to break into pieces, to do harm. And so this gives the idea of those who are criminals and highwaymen who would rob a man of his possessions, who would do him harm physically. And we should stay clear of their path. They desire to cause someone else to fall. They aren't happy unless they're corrupting someone and causing that person to come down to their level. You see, as a Christian, quite often the reason people would have something against us is simply because we're a testimony of the Lord and of righteousness, and it convicts them of their sin. So they like to find fault with us so they don't have to feel guilty about themselves. A believer also follows a heavenly path. Verse 18 says the path of the just is as a shining light. We know we walk in the light as God is in the light, and in that relationship with God in righteousness, there is no darkness at all. We contrast in Scripture the path of light of a believer and the path of darkness at the wicked. They stumble because of the darkness. They falter in problems and troubles, and they're easily led astray, and it comes back to haunt them. We all reap as we sow, but the wicked have chosen a life that brings back many repercussions. Christ is the light of the world. In John 8, verse 12, he said that to the people at the time of the feast, that he is the light of the world. He's translated believers out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light in Colossians 1, verse 13 and 14. Turn in your Bible, keep your bookmark here in Proverbs, we'll come back, but turn in your Bible with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. John chapter 3, the gospel, verse 18. We contrast the believer and the unbeliever. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So the believer is not condemned. We have been freed of our sins. Christ has paid the price. We are not under condemnation. And many of the unsaved people of our world don't understand this. They think it doesn't matter how they live now, that when they stand before God, maybe they'll have done enough good to outweigh all the bad. That's not how it works. If you're not saved, you're under the condemnation of God now. You've already been found guilty. You're already under condemnation of judgment from God. You're already on your way to hell. Unless you find the mercy of God and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be freed from that and saved from that, as Christians have been. Christians are not perfect in any stretch of the imagination, but we are forgiven. We are out from under condemnation in our relationship with Christ. Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 14 through 16, that the believer should let his light shine before others. He said a man doesn't take a light and hide it up under a bushel. He sets it on a stand so it can light the room so people can see. And we understand that principle, that we're to have our light shining so the lost can see. I remember a story that was supposed to have been based upon a true story of a man who was on a train. You know, these guys ride on trains, and when they come to a crossroads, they would slow, and so the guys on the train could actually step off on the ground while the train was moving, and he had a lantern, and he would swing the lantern back and forth so the traffic would see. And just as about the time the train got about halfway across the crossing, he would grab the caboose's pipes there, the guardrail, and step back on and move on ahead. And a car had a wreck, and there was an investigation that went into it, And come to find out that the workman was in such a routine of doing that, he had forgotten to check to see if the lamp was lit. And he was waving a lantern that was not lighted. And an accident was caused because of that. And the application was made, as Christians, our light needs to burn bright. We don't need to have the dirt of sin causing our light not to shine and be ineffective for the cause of Christ. Now, Paul knew God's calling and purpose in his life. In the book of Acts, if you want to look there, chapter 26. Acts 26 and verse 15. Paul talking about his testimony when he met the Lord on the Damascus Road in chapter 26, verse 15. And I said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee." And here's the purpose in his preaching and witness: to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So that's our goal in sending missionaries. That's our goal in being a witness for Christ. That's our goal in sharing the gospel with people that we believe are unsaved, is so that they can be turned from darkness to light and forgiveness of their sins can be obtained. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul writes about Satan blinding the minds of men, lest the light of the gospel should shine unto them and they would be saved. Chapter 4, verse 6 of 2 Corinthians, he said, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Back in verse 3, he said, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world," and you notice if you're looking at the scripture, God in that passage is small g, it's referring to Satan as the God of this world, "has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Ephesians 5:8 says we're to walk the path of light, remembering that God delivered us from darkness. We're to see how we are to walk as children of light in Ephesians 5 and verse 8 through 18. "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And this is the result of being a child of light. "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." So we see the importance of how we walk as children of light. We're to walk with goodness and righteousness and in truth, avoiding the unfruitful works of darkness. So those that get into the darkness of this world, into the darkness of sins, will not be able to produce fruit for God. Satan cannot steal the soul of a saved person, but he can cause you to stumble so that your life is ineffective for God. And if we're ineffective for God, we are not doing the job that God would have us to do, and that's bear fruit for him. Light reproves darkness. Therefore, we're to walk circumspectly, and that means cautiously and carefully, because there are many dangers. How many of you ever been in the woods at night? Walking in the woods at night. Well, a lot of you have. What are y'all doing in the woods at night? When I was a boy, we had a neighbor that Mr. Slick Shira, he had coon dogs, some expensive dogs. And he would take them hunting, but he'd always come get Bill Covington and me and some of the other young teenage boys to go with him because he was getting up in age pretty good. And he wanted us to go with him so that he didn't fall and get hurt and so that we could catch his dogs when he was ready to go home and that sort of thing, you know. And he loved to hear those old dogs howl, you know, row, row, row. And he'd say, that's old Blue right there. You know, I can tell by the way he's baying, they call it. And he loved to talk about those dogs and send them out to track a raccoon up in a tree. And he carried a little .22 rifle to shoot the raccoon if we caught one up in the tree, you know. And there were many dangers in the woods anytime, but especially at night. A stump hole, every forest has stump holes where trees have died and rotted away, and where that tree was and the stump rotted away, there's a hole in the ground that used to be a stump, and it covers over with leaves as the leaves fall, and you can step in that and break a leg real easily, and you can fall and get hurt. And Mr. Slick, I remember one night we got down near a creek and it was straight downhill to the creek, and he caught a little old sapling tree with his hand and he went around that tree about three or four times and fell down on the ground, and we had to pick him up, you know, and fortunately didn't get hurt or anything. But it's dangerous out there, and this world is dangerous. There are many dangers, there are many pitfalls, there are many traps that Satan puts in our path. And so we've got to be careful to stay in the right path and stay in the path of light. We're making wise use of our time in evil days in which we live. Galatians says Christ died to deliver us from this present evil world in which we live. The world is evil. Satan is the god of this world. And Christ is going to come and deliver us from this present evil world one day and take us to heaven to be with him. But until that day comes, we live a human life in this world that is evil. We need to understand the will of the Lord and be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit means to be controlled by the Spirit. So we're to yield ourselves completely to the Lord that the Spirit of God might have control of our eyes and our ears and our mouth and our heart, our hands and our feet, so that we are yielded to him totally. That means filled with the Spirit. We're to remember that we're in a spiritual warfare. In Ephesians 6:12, the scripture says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So there is a satanic warfare, a spiritual warfare that we are involved in. We battle the rulers of darkness in this world. The rulers work through political leaders and systems and their spiritual wickedness in high places. And we must put on the whole armor of God to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Satan is a wily foe. He knows where people have failed before, and he knows what to work on them with temptation, whether it's their anger or their lust or whatever it may be, greed or avarice or what. And we need the armor of God that controls the whole body, our head for the helmet, our heart protected by the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then verse 16 says to be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we're to be people of prayer, and that's why we're here tonight, to have prayer meeting, to be reminded of the Bible study of God's Word on the importance of prayer and the importance of our walk in our daily life. Turning, if you will, with me in your Bibles to Revelation 16. Revelation 16. Here we see something about the kingdom of darkness and those that are in it. Revelation 16, 2. He heard the voice of the angel sound, pouring out a vial of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. So the world of darkness that we live in has these within it that worship evil. They worship what controls men. Verse 5 and 6 tells us they shed the blood of the saints and the prophets. I heard the angel of waters say, "Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy." They are under God's wrath, and they blaspheme the name of God and repent not, no matter how bad things get for them. The Bible says they gnaw their tongues for pain. It says, verse 7, "I heard another angel out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun. Power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And the men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory." So here they are suffering the pains of the damned, but they won't even stop to repent of their sin and turn to God for help. They have cast in their lot with their darkness and sin. Verse 11, "And blasphemed the God of heaven because their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds." The Bible says that in this time that unclean spirits will go into these rulers to bring about their destruction. Verse 13, "I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirit of devils working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." And so they're brought to the place of the battle, so they will be destroyed by demonic spirits. Their great city that they have loved and have devoted themselves to. Verse 19, "The great city was divided into three parts, and the city of the nations fell. Great Babylon came into remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found." So these, they will lose what they're putting all their confidence in. You remember the story of Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah, and how that he left there because the angels warned him, and he couldn't get all of his family to come with him, but he left the city. His wife turned back, desiring what she was leaving behind, and she was turned into a pillar of salt, and Lot and his two daughters escaped, but they lost everything they had. And there are many in the world today that are going to lose everything because all their confidence, all their hope, all their involvement is in material things of this life, and all that's going to be left behind. Everything in this world is going to be burned up. God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth for us. These that have blasphemed and done all these things, verse 21, "There fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great." Back in Exodus, God rained down fire and hail upon Egypt in the time of Exodus when his judgment came upon the Egyptians to turn Israel loose. You say, well, how much is a talent? Well, there are different things that are talents. A talent of silver weighs 125 pounds. So we're talking about big hail balls. We're not talking about something golf ball size or not softball size, probably not even basketball size. We're talking about hail falling down out of heaven on these people, and they continue to blaspheme God for his judgment upon them. Now let's go back to Proverbs 4. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20 through 22. He reminds him about keeping his word, letting it not depart from him, for their life and health to them. And keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The heart is abundantly wicked. Only God knows the heart of man. We have to keep our desires focused heavenly and not focused on the things of this life, because our desires will lead us into troubled waters. Philippians 4:8 tells us what we're to focus on, what is true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report. And if we focus on those things, then we won't let our heart get focused on the wrong things. We're to put away lying tongues and fraudulent behavior and perverse lips. These are common with the unbelievers, to have vile speech and use fraud in their business dealings. We're to keep our eyes straight ahead, and we're to keep our feet in the right path and not get turned away. You know, it's so easy to get sidetracked on things that are not important and get our focus off the things that are most important. But we live life, and living life, so many things come at us. We're often, like the New Testament says, the man with the ox in the ditch, who is forced to deal with that immediately, and then he must come back to doing what he needs to do. And there are many times that we're the same way. We have good intentions to live for the Lord, stay on the right path, do the right things, but demands take our time. And there's times that we must deal with those, but then we've got to get right back to where we need to be. We must choose the right path, and if we choose the right path, it'll be the holy path. It'll be a healthy path for our life, longer life and a healthy life. It'll be a happy path where we have contentment and peace of mind and can rejoice in the joy of the Lord. It'll be a heavenly path, and we can avoid the path of the wicked and evil. We have to see darkness for what it is. Turn one more passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. I'll close from here. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial or Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty. Righteousness and unrighteousness, the contrast is there. Light versus darkness. What concord, that is a musical harmony, is there between Christ and Belial? Belial is a word for extreme wickedness. It became a proper name for Satan himself. What part hath he that believeth with an infidel, with unbelievers? What agreement is there of the temple of God with idols? We're to separate ourselves from evil and sinful paths and walk in the light of belief, not in unbelief. And these, so many people who are unsaved have no idea of their condition. And it's important that we who are saved learn how to share the gospel with them and show them how they can be saved and confront them. Do you have peace in your heart? If you died today, you'd go to heaven? Do you know what it's like to be saved? If not, let me take the Bible and show you how you can know before we split up from each other. And those of you that are mature believers who know how to share the gospel with someone, I urge you, don't forget to be a witness. Take some tracts with you, gas station, bank, all kind of places you go to. You talk to more people than you realize. Remember the story of the lady who was in a wheelchair and her pastor had said everybody needs to be a witness and that sort of thing. And she came to him afterwards and said, how can I be a witness? And he said, well, I'm not sure, but he said, I think if you pray about it and you try to be, I think the Lord will provide someone. And, you know, she came back to see him sometime later and said, you know, the mailman came and brought her the mail to the door and she witnessed to him. And a child came and knocked on the door, was selling cookies or something, and she witnessed to them. And she had someone come out and do some service work around her house, and she was a witness to them. We come in contact with more people each week than we even think about. If we said, how many people I talk to every week, we'd probably limit it much lower than what it actually boils down to. We come in contact with a lot of people. So let's be the light that they need. Let's share the gospel. Let's give them something to take and read. They may not accept what we're trying to share with them, but they might take something home and read it, and God can use it to bring a quickening to their heart. When I was an unsaved man working as a welder on construction, I went to work up at the nuclear plant, at McGuire Nuclear Plant for Duke Energy, building the nuclear plant there. And there were several Christian men on that job. And they talked to me about the Lord, and I'd blow it off, and I didn't have time for them. But inside I was thinking, you know, I'd like to be a better husband. I'd like to be a good father. I'd like to have what these men seem to have. And it took time. I read tracts often. One particular fellow was a very patient witness, and he'd hand me his New Testament out of his pocket, and he'd say, well, look that up and see where it is in the Bible. I'd say, well, you know where it is. Tell me where it is. No, you look it up and see if you can find it. I went and hid out one day for about an hour and a half trying to find where the mark of the beast was in the book of Revelation. I read the whole book of Revelation, you know. And I was looking for the number 666, and it doesn't say it exactly like that, you know. So finally, I began to tell that there was something going on in my life. It was what we call conviction. And through that, Joy and I went to church from an invitation with a guy I was going to night school with. And we both got saved the first time we went to that church. But that wasn't the first time that somebody had prayed for me, or the first time that somebody had shared the gospel with me or witnessed to me or given me something to read. And God had brought me to that place. So I urge you. Proverbs is a great book. Let's learn from it and put these things to apply it in our life. Brother Gary, would you pray for us? And Diane, go ahead and, if you will, start something. Wait till she plays, Gary, and then dismiss us, okay?
Going through a lot of different problems right now, Lord, with COVID, unrest with people. And Lord, we just pray that people might see the Lord Jesus. They might come to know you as their Savior.
Please.
That would solve a lot of these problems. Pray that you'd be with the election that's coming up, Lord. We pray that you might help righteousness to prevail. I'm not sure how much righteousness there is, but Lord, we do believe there's a better person that can run this country. And Lord, we pray for President Trump tonight that you continue to give him wisdom and direction. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with Pastor now as he tries to get an appointment to have this procedure done. We pray that that'll all work out here real soon. Thank you for your goodness. Now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.